Hello, everybody. My name is Fred Davis. I am the editor of Awakening Clarity and the author of Beyond Recovery. Thought I'd spend a few minutes with you this morning and talk to you about another non-dual topic. I'm going to be doing a new series where the topics will be on questions or problems that arise either in my email with readers of Awakening Clarity and readers of Beyond Recovery, or with participants, clients, in my online sessions, in my direct pointing sessions. And these will be addressing things that either can help us or things that can trip us up in our path to awakening or our path to more stable awakening, either one. So today's path is something that comes up a lot. I mean, it really could probably comes up more than just about anything else that I address, and I can remember when it was incredibly confusing and demotivating for me as well. So maybe this will be helpful to you. The topic is on how we can get caught up in old behavior patterns. In other words, I noticed that this body is going through a pattern that I'm just not on board with anymore, that I have seen is no longer an effective topic, I mean, an effective pattern for it. Let's say that it's anger at the cat. I really don't get angry at my cats, but let's assume I do. And so I get angry at my cat, and I yell at the cat, and ooh, I'm very stick out, and I'm really mad, and then, or maybe, you know, God forbid I should be physical with it. It just doesn't happen. But, you know, one way or the other, there's a venting of a lot of stuff which just appears to be about the cat, of course. I mean, how much trouble can a cat really be? And and maybe even while that's going on, there can be a part of me that is just aghast at what's happening. But I noticed that it's still happening anyway. And this is will usually occur, I would say. It may occur in pre-awakening. I really can't remember if I had that much light in any stage of pre-awakening. But I can tell you it absolutely happens in the post-awakening state. And a lot of these videos are going to be about post-awakening because, quite frankly, a lot of people who will be watching them are people who are clients of mine who have woken up and will have continuing questions. And I really only do so many follow-up sessions with folks. I mean, I after there's been an awakening, I probably don't do more than about once a month, something like that. So this will be an efficient way to help address problems that people are experiencing. What happens is we're now awake in the sense that we know who we are. We know that we are the alive space, we know that we are the inhabiting presence. We know that we are the knowing. We see that we are the seer, however you want to put that, but it will not have been fully embodied. There will still be, so in other words, intellectually I have it, and I don't mean it's like, gee, I read a non-dual book and I kind of get what they're talking about. I'm talking about that there may be a very deep intellectual understanding, a very deep intellectual getting it. So we've really got it, but we're not living it, and we're maybe living it part of the time, probably are living it part of the time. But it's quite a damn journey from living it part of the time to living it all of the time. I can tell you that in full confidence because I'm not living it all the time. I'm never forgetting who I am, but I can still go into unconsciousness. The difference will be is that primarily I would say that I'm now living in what Ramesh Balsekar called, or I'm now experiencing, vertical living. Which means that there would, if in the case of that cat, there would be a flash of anger, but it would just be very brief, very momentary, and then it's seen through, oh, what are you doing? And the instant that it's seen, I don't have to call in the troops to stop that or anything like that. The instance that that's seen now, because it's first been seen through, that behavior pattern stops. It drops, and not only does it drop, but everything that went with it drops. Even my body, where there will be anger and, you know, the hormones or, you know, that testosterone, I'm going to kick somebody's ass, even though I'm an old man or whatever, and that stuff really boils up, it will subside, I mean, just like instantly. And there will be, well, I guess peace is as good a word as any. It's not a great word for it, but it'll have to do. So, what do we do? In your instance, what are your problems like this? This is the thing to do, is it's very good to begin to isolate them, because the reason I say that is that we tend to see through these things one pattern at a time. So let's talk about the pattern for a minute. We got to understand that even though we've had some non-dual seeing now, all of this conditioning doesn't just drop away. I mean, even in the best cases, even in the famous cases like Ajahn Chah and Eckhart Tolle and Byron Katie and people like that, all that conditioning didn't drop away immediately. Katie talks about the fact she went to the desert, took the whole world with her. That's the reason she invented the work. She didn't invent the work to wake up. She was already awake when she invented it. She invented it to clear out the insanity that was occurring. And in recovery, they talk about that, you know, if you sober up, a horse thief, then what you got is you've got yourself a sober horse thief. And very much the same thing in non-duality. If an insane person breaks through the gateless gate and has a true seeing, then you've got yourself an awake crazy person. And the fact is that when we wake up, all of us are crazy. It's just a matter of degree. But every one of us is insane because we've been living insanely. The pattern, the DNA that's in the body, the conditioning that's been in that's in the body since birth, but probably even more powerful than that, or more dated than that, is the DNA that's been there for thousands of years. And we don't need mysticism. You can trace back. I mean, you can trace this body to Africa for thousands of years ago using DNA. So there are patterns. Now, what is DNA? DNA is really a series of successful patterns, much as anything else. I mean, there are many, many things that my parents did not have to teach me. And nobody ever taught me to climb a tree. I just climbed a tree. Nobody ever taught me to run. I just ran. I was taught to walk, but the running came on my own. These are all patterns, you know, the way that I talk is a pattern that I've inherited. I don't do this. It's done to me. The way that I write is an inherited pattern that's been conditioned since birth by everything I ever read and every teacher I ever had and all of that. But a thing to understand is that we are this being that we think is or at least we have previously thought, was a noun. This Fred is really, it's an event. It's a Fredness. It's an event that's arising and falling within the oneness. But it's still an arising on its own. And it's not independent, but it certainly appears to be independent. And this apparently independent arising is chock full of patterns, successful patterns. And if they weren't successful, primarily successful patterns, this thing would have been dropped out of the gene pool hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, just way, way, way on back. So this meta pattern is not going to drop these small successful patterns just because there's been a seeing through. Just because there's been a seeing, it will drop them when there's actually a seeing through, when it's actually seen through. That's what we're going to talk about. So what will happen, though, is that I may have an experience of awakening and see, oh, wow, look at this. Everything is empty and there's nothing. Gee whiz, there's no reason for me to be angry at anybody because everybody's doing the best they can. I can see that very clearly. And there's actually nobody there. There's nobody home. There's no no independent entities and all this kind of stuff, and I can have this happy moment, this happy seeing, and then 2 hours later I can be honking my horn because the guy in front of me is not driving fast enough, in my opinion, or the cat has thinks it's his house instead of realizing that it's my august house. When the fact is, it is the cat's house. You know, it's my house too. It's just it's the house that these units, the cave of these units, if you will. But it's not my house and it's not his house. It's just a house. It's being shared by two beings. And this one may falsely claim ownership. And when it does, it will get angry at anything in its domain that gets out of line. See? Man, when we're when we're identifying, we have really opened up a vast can of worms. And we have been living with this can of worms for thousands of years. So we see through these patterns. The larger patterns we certainly see through one at a time. Smaller patterns may be somehow grouped under that pattern in the sense that there may be some linking between seeing the cat, being angry at the cat, and being angry at the man and honking my horn. There may be a linking of that, and the fact that I see through the ridiculous unconscious behavior of trying to retrain another human unit in front of me by honking my horn, or trying to retrain a poor cat by yelling at it. I may connect those two things and see the insanity of my identity. So that seeing through one may lessen my identification with the other and my unskillful behavior in the other case. But it's probably not going to be, I see through yelling at the cat, and therefore I'm never again going to honk the horn. I'll just see through the honking of the horn that much quicker. So what people will write me, they'll write me and they'll say, gee, Fred, I know that, you know, they'll tell me all the great lines. I've no reason to feed them back to you. But that's enough to indicate to me that they've had a real life clear seeing, but that they're questioning their behavior. They just see they're not living skillfully. They've not embodied what they know. And it is so damn frustrating. And it is, sadly, I can't then write them back and say, oh, do this. You know, because there is no, non-duality is not like take two and call me in the morning. There's not a quick fix here, unless there is. But generally speaking, there's not a quick fix. So what we want to do is we want to be alert to our arisings at every possible moment. And sadly enough, what this requires is work on our part. See, what we really want, and we'll talk about this later when we talk about spiritual experiences, but what we really want is we want a lazy form of permanent awakening. It's not available. Nobody has it. Eckhart Tolle doesn't have it. Ajahn Chah doesn't have it. Byron Katie doesn't have it. Rupert Spira doesn't have it. None of these people have a lazy form of permanent awakening. They just awakeness. It doesn't exist. What all of these people have, and the only thing that I can offer to you as a remedy, is a ongoing awakeness. In other words, there's quite a bit of difference between permanent and ongoing. Permanent means I've crossed the line. I've got it. I've never fallen out of it. I can, you know, no matter what happens, I am always in it. And I know that no matter what might happen in the future, because see now, if it's permanent, then I know what's going to happen tomorrow because it's permanent. And I will tell you that there's nothing about awakeness that knows what's going to happen tomorrow. It just doesn't work like that. We're all in this. We're all like spies. We operate on a need to know basis. I get what I need to know when I need to know it, and not before. So if I'm projecting into the future, I'm telling you, I'm not awake right now, is what I'm really telling you. I can tell you that I probably am going to be functioning from awakeness tomorrow, and that's just a good guess. That's a good educated guess, and that's fine to do that. But if I tell you I am, I'm telling you I'm not awake right now, is what I'm telling you. So there is the best that we can have is an ongoing awakeness that comes from an alertness that becomes less and less effort. So that in the end, it actually does become effortless to be ourselves. But are essentially effortless to be ourselves. But there's still the willingness to be awake to this moment, the willingness to be alert to this arising, because we are awake to what's happening right now, or we're not awake at all. See, there's really isn't. There just isn't anything other than this moment, so that there's no possible way for me to have been awake previously or gonna be awake later, but not be awake right now. I'm either awake right now or I'm essentially, watch, don't hang me on language, but essentially, or I've never been awake, because it's now or never. That's the truth of it. So being alert to this moment means having the humility to say, gee, I don't know. In other words, that damn cat, the cat shouldn't be where it is. Is that true? And we don't have to go through a tremendous long process with this, even just questioning it is enough, because that's something we can do on the fly. We can quite, is it true? And I can say, well, it feels like he shouldn't be in the doorway between the living room and the kitchen, right where I've got to go, but I notice that he is. And see, when my opinions conflict, my opinions about reality, which is the cat should not be in the doorway between the living room and the kitchen, and when my opinions about what reality should be like conflict with the way that reality actually is, which is the simple fact that a cat is in the doorway, I'm going to suffer. Do you see that? See, if the cat is in the doorway and I have no sense that he's shouldn't be there, even if I accidentally step on the cat or whatever, because I don't see it, and then and he hollers and claws my leg or whatever happens, there may be a little pain involved there, but there don't have to be any suffering, because there's not the opinion that the cat shouldn't be in the doorway. There's the acknowledgement that the cat is in the doorway, and therefore I'm allowing reality to be as it is. No suffering. Cat shouldn't be in the doorway. Bam, damn it! Suffering. That damn it is suffering. That's me resisting the way things are. So, same thing with the man with the horn. When he's driving too slow, the man is driving the speed that he's driving. That much we know. And that's actually all we know. He shouldn't be driving. That speed, he should be driving faster. Now my opinions about reality have come into conflict with the right way reality is, and I'm going to suffer. So my question is, the man should be driving faster than that. Is it true? Is it? Well, it certainly feels true. Okay, we acknowledge it feels true. Is it true? No, it's not. Because it's just, he's driving the way he's driving. That's the end. So when I am not honking my horn and screaming, speed up, damn it, I'm not, that my car hasn't speeded up. I'm not making any better time on the way to the emergency room. But I am not suffering on my way to the emergency room. That's the great thing. So I'm just going to the emergency room, man. I'm just driving in my car. I'm going at the speed that the traffic's going, and not a damn thing I can do about it. And it doesn't have to be, oh, well, this is the way things are. It sure happens to me, but there's not anything I can do. That's resignation. That's not surrender. See, surrender is just the acknowledgement, oh, this is how fast traffic's going. Not anything I can do about that. So, you know, and just it is the way it is. And see, resignation stems from resistance, and surrender actually stems from wisdom, which is the wisdom of seeing things are the way they are. It's just really that simple. It's hard to believe it, but that is the seeing through. So when we can bring that same sort of clarity to our own behaviors, noticing that our behaviors also are the way that they are, because what we think is, oh, I see, is that the cat is just the way that it is, and damn it, I need to, and I've had this non-dual seeing, and I should know better than this, and so I'm very disappointed in myself that I'm angry at the cat. See, what I have failed to do is I have moved right back into the dream when I do that, because what I have failed to do is to allow the Fred pattern to be part of the arising. Do you see that? That is the whole key right there, is that when I can notice that the Fred pattern is part of that scene and that it's firing all on its own without my direction, without my help, without my permission, and that it's just doing what it's doing, and I can notice that and not condemn it and not bother to try to change it, I'm choiceless awareness, but notice it, if I can do that, if I can see it, then I've got a chance of actually seeing through it. And when I say seeing through it, what I mean is full penetration. And upon full penetration of seeing that that pattern is no longer working for us, because I got it new for you, that pattern, that there's something in the way and it's a mountain lion, it may have kept this unit alive at another time. So it's got to have a full penetration to understand that animals in its path are not a threat. Animals in its path are, and that overreacting to those things are, you know, is not skillful. It's not helpful. When I see that it's not helpful, that it's no longer working for the unit, boom, the pattern will drop me. I don't have to drop the pattern. I never, ever have to take action against that pattern. And in fact, cannot take action against that pattern. All I can do is see through it. And that's what we want to do. We just want to see through it. So there's no quick fix. There's just the seeing and the willingness to do that over and over again with that same pattern if we don't see through it completely. And it's the willingness to continue to do that with everything that happens. And it gets crazy, because what we find out is I've not just been insane here, but I'm insane here and here and here and here. Oh my God, my whole lifestyle is insane. Everything about it's insane. It can't not be insane, because it's everything that's been seen. I'm reacting to something that isn't there, because I'm reacting to something that is affecting precious me. And see, once I'm identifying from awareness, and the willingness to see that pattern is a willingness to move back and stand as awareness and observe that pattern. And when I'm standing as awareness and I'm observing that pattern, I'm bringing the light of awareness to it, and the light of awareness will set me free from that pattern. It's not even me, but it feels like it's me. When they're writing me, they think it's they. When they're writing me and saying, "Dear Fred," they think it's them that's doing that. And that's the key, is that understanding that it's not you, and allowing that unit to be part of the pattern, rather than that unit is reacting to another pattern. I don't know if I made that clear, but I think I have. But I'm going to talk my way out of it, so I better shut up and get out of here, and we'll talk about something a little bit. So just a quick review. What we want to do is, when we notice that we are living in a way that is not exhibiting our highest knowledge, we just want to notice it. We don't want to judge it. We don't want to try to fix it. We just want to notice it. We want to notice it non-judgmentally. We want to notice it as kindly as we can, because it can't do anything else. It's doing its very best. If it's kicking the cat, it's doing the very best. And being angry at myself for kicking the cat will not lessen the chance of that happening again, really. I mean, there might be some guilt and everything, but it's not a skillful way to make that go away. The skillful way to change that is to notice the blind pattern, to notice that blind, unskillful pattern. And once it's fully seen, then it's seen through. Once it's penetrated, the pattern will be dropped. It's really that simple. So good luck with it. Write me. Let me know how it's going.